Good morning. So before we get started, one of our pastors, Pastor Sandy, is not feeling well. It's more than a sniffle, but she says don't trip, but she does want us to pray for her. So before we start, let's lift up Pastor Sandy in prayer. Father God, I thank you for our Pastor Sandy, and I'm so thankful for that you planted her in our community. And Lord, thank you for all her gifts and everything that she contributes to our community. Lord, she is such a blessing. We lift her up to you and we thank you that you're in control. And we pray for her healing right now in your mighty name, Jesus, that you would touch her and heal her all the way. But I thank you, God, that her life, her very breath is in your hands, and you will not take her until you're done. And so, Lord, I thank you, because I know you ain't done with her. So heal her this day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Good stuff. So we're in Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to be sharing a parable with you today. I'll just start. Jesus is 17 miles from Jerusalem in Jericho. The triumphal entry of the king is right about to happen. The 12 disciples think that he's going to defeat the Romans and establish his kingdom immediately. So once again, Jesus has to get their eyes back on the eternal prize. Jesus is at Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus was the tax collector. If you were here last week, you heard Joe preach about him. He was a Jew who became a tax collector. So he was making money off the backs of his people for Rome, right? He's collecting taxes from the Jews, giving Caesar his cut, and he's taking his own cut. So he is despised amongst the people. His own family probably hates him and disowns him. So, and he's cheated his own people. So this guy, he's super short. He sees Jesus. He runs up in a tree. Jesus sees him, says, hey, man, I'm going to go stay at your house tonight. They go to his house. Zacchaeus repents. He sees Jesus for who he is, and he repents, and he says, oh, God, I will pay everybody back four times what I burned them for. I will give half of everything to the poor. He repents. The stuff in this world that I thought was so important, it means nothing to me compared to eternal life with you, Jesus. I repent. And so the Lord drives home that the kingdom, although revealed partially, is to be fulfilled in the future, so that all the elect shall be saved, and in his time. Jesus has just said, salvation has come to this man's house today. When Zach repented, he said, this man's salvation has come to this man's house today. And he also said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to save the first time. He came to save. The second time he comes back, he comes to judge. So we pick it up in Luke 19, because they're still in Zacchaeus' house, okay? He just said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. And we pick it up in 11. As they heard these things, he, Jesus, proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, before I go on, you see, the disciples are just like us. They've been rolling around with Jesus for years. They've seen the miracles. They have seen Jesus do Jesus. And it's like, man, this is going to be good. I know he keeps saying he's going to go away, but I just know when we get to Jerusalem, he's going to set up his throne. We're going to overthrow the Romans, and we're just going to happily ever after. The end. Just like a lot of us do. Jesus, come heal my life now. Come make my life better now. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, Lord, here's your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you do not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He said to them, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow? You knew that? He said to him, Why then did you not put my money in the bank? If I'm such a hard guy, why wouldn't you put it in the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take that mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for the enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. This is Jesus. This is sweet little baby lamb Jesus showing his lion, isn't he? This is Jesus, what I love about him. He's telling us and he loves us, right? So he takes what is familiar, a story, and he uses current events, things around. This was very relevant. This parable meant more to them then than it does to us now. Okay, and I'll explain that. But he would use current events, things around. Because what a parable mean is literally laying aside what you understand to explain something that you don't. So he uses a current event and a story to explain a spiritual truth that none of us get. That's what a parable means. And so, the brilliant thing about Jesus is, everybody who hears my voice is in this parable. None of us get out of it. In fact, everybody in this room will be accountable for this parable when we're out of here, because you'll understand it after today. There are 3 people in this story. Faithful servants. Well, there's the master, right? The Lord, the nobleman. Then there's faithful servants, unfaithful servants, and enemies. All were citizens of his kingdom. Now, obviously, Jesus is talking about his ascension and his second coming, just in case you missed it. God created the world and everything in it. Everyone, everything. Those people that mock Jesus Christ and pole dance on a cross, dress up as nuns. The people that openly mock and and blaspheme his name and him. We're created by God, owned by Jesus. Everything through him, for him, by him. They're God's. They're God's citizens. And that's what this parable means. So let's break it down. I gave you the whole thing. Let's go bit by bit now. So let's take it up in verse 12. Oh, and by the way, before we start, this is not the same thing as the parable of the talents. In case you, there's a parable of the talents where Jesus gives currency again, but he gives everybody a different amount. Okay? This is different. The parable shared in Matthew 25 is a couple weeks. It's in Passion Week. It's still to be said. He hasn't even said that one yet. Okay? So the parable of the minas is different than the parable of the talents. Amen? All right. Everybody gets the same in the mina. Everybody got the same amount. One. He said, therefore, a nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. The word for nobleman here, I didn't write it down, but it means of noble birth. Royalty. He wasn't just a noble person. He was royalty, especially, you know, one who was called to run things. Again, the disciples wanted, you know, they were thinking Jesus was going to be the king now. He's got to get their minds right. We got to look at the long game, guys. So Jesus used front page news, like I said, okay? So he told this parable of a king going away to receive a kingdom. So Israel was a country, right? But it was occupied by Rome. Rome ran all the cities and the states that were, you know, whatever they, you know, Rome ran it, right? So Israel was an occupied community. So the Romans didn't want to mess around with running these people. I mean, like, they already had people that knew the culture, knew the traditions. They had, you know what I mean? Jews to Romans were, they had too many weird traditions and they just didn't want to deal with them. So what they did was they would have somebody of their own kind, really, rule over them. So there was a king named King Herod the Great. Herod the Great, he named himself. Humble man. And he fought a war with the Romans and they won. So they made him a king. They were neither Jews nor Romans. They were the Herods. Go figure. So Herod died. And his son, Archelaus, the first thing that Archelaus did when he stepped into his dad's role after he died was he slaughtered 3,000 Christians, or Jews. 3,000 Jews on Passover and stacked their bodies in the temple. Stacked their dead bodies in the temple. He wanted to show them, I mean business. I'm showing you my power. Dude was a creep. So he still had to go get coronated by Caesar. He had to go to Rome to get coronated by Caesar. So he had to go away to receive the kingdom. The Jews sent a delegation after Archelaus saying, no, we don't want this guy to rule over us. We hate him. Even some of Archelaus's own family were against him, going, this is a bad dude. You don't want to make him king. So what did Caesar do? He bummed everybody out. He didn't give him the title king, but let him go back and rule over the Jews under the title of ethnarch. And he said, if you earn your right to be king, I'll let you be king. But he never did, obviously, because he was a creep. But that was the story that Jesus used. And they were very familiar. Everybody knew about what happened. They were very familiar with that. So that's just a little background of where that parable came from. Verse 13. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. The word for servants here is doulos, slave. But not a slave that's, you know, not the kind of slave that is, you know, oppressed and beaten. This slave is happy with his master. He delighted to serve. But a slave nonetheless. And the number 10, Jesus uses the number 10. He called 10 of his servants. Weren't there 12 disciples? Yeah. That's why Jesus here is just using a round number, the number 10. I'll give you an example. He used the number 10 again in the parable of the 10 virgins with their lamps. Also a parable about salvation. So he wants to include us all, so he uses the number 10. It's just a whole number. Mina. A mina is 100 days pay. It's about a little over 3 months worth of pay. It's 100 drachmas or denarii. So people back then got paid about a denarii a day. So this is real money he's using as an example. He's using about a little over 3 months, 100 days worth of pay as an example. Remember, we're laying the familiar with the unfamiliar. The Hebrew, I can't think of it right now. Aramaic, sorry. This is either Aramaic or Greek. I think it's Aramaic because of the, you know, it shows how it's written and it didn't look Greek to me, so. Mina is literally three letters, M-N-A. And I told you what it meant. But the mina here, it represents the gospel. It represents Jesus and the good news of him. We're all given the same deposit. And he says, engage in business. That word is a long word, so I'm going to do my best. Pragmatomai. Pragmatomai. Or pragmateomai. My, whatever. It's literally to get in and exchange. Exchange. And what? Okay, so the Lord's using money. What is a spiritual currency that I could lay beside and figure out this value? Well, what does God care about? People. Obedience to his word. God has called us to be engaged with people. He's deposited something in you and I of value. And he's called us to engage in business. Verse 14. But as citizens, here's the citizens now. Servants are citizens. Everybody's a citizen. But now he's talking about these particular people who are not servants, okay? But his citizens hated him. Still his citizens, still belong to the Lord, to the nobleman, to the king. They hated him. And they sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. Jesus is talking about everyone who rejects him. Everyone, including the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all those people, definitely what he meant then. But the eternal meaning of this lasts. And it goes beyond just the religious spirit. But it goes to all those who deny Jesus. Because all those who deny Jesus, in a sense, hate him. Let me describe something to you. In John 14, In John 14, Jesus says this about himself. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." If you know Jesus, you know the Father. If you know the Father, then you know Jesus is his Son. This is important. See, this is a hard scripture to preach, guys, and I'll get there. But it's hard. It's a fastball. Causes all of us to draw a line in the sand and go, "I believe. I don't understand it all. Maybe even some of my feelings are like, yeah, that seems pretty hard. But I believe because you're God and you're good. Your heart is good. Everything about you is good. You are for me, not against me." If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Verse 15 of chapter 19. When he returned, having received the kingdom, because he's gonna, did, is, gonna be. Get it? He ordered these servants, the ones whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. This is Jesus giving us a little insight here. One, I'm coming back for sure. The kingdom's mine. I was raised from the dead. That was everybody's like proof that God said, "I accept." Now everybody who believes in my Son and what he did on the cross will be saved for all eternity, no matter what they did or what they didn't do. If they have faith in the Son of God, they are saved. "I accept. Take your life up, Jesus. I take my life up." And he goes, "Look at my holes. Look at my holes. Look at my side. It's real. It's real. I'm real. I'm going to go and I'm going to send the helper. The other person of the Trinity, of the three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Deposit. The Lord has given each one of us gifts, talents, and abilities. This varies with each person, but each person will be accountable at the mercy seat of Christ with what they do understand and with the gospel deposit that was given to you. You will be accountable. Christ will return and judge the earth and everyone in it. 1 Corinthians, Paul gives us a glimpse into the day, capital D, the last day. The day. In 1 Corinthians 3, he says this, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive an award. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. Though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now listen. The gold, the silver, the precious stones, those are good deeds. Those are obedience to Christ. That's me getting out of myself and obeying God, trying to be like Jesus, trying to be selfless. And a generous giver, a one who walks in truth no matter what circumstances or society or the culture tries to cram down my throat. I stay in truth and I stay true to your word, God. I stay true to you. We are allowed to have hobbies. You're allowed to like football, surfing, artwork, Netflix, whatever your get down is. But Jesus is warning his people in a loving way. Your focus needs to be on eternity. Yes, I love surfing. I'm going on a surf trip to Nicaragua next week, guys. I get to get barreled for 7 days. But I'm not going to show up and go, God, oh man, I got so barreled in Nicaragua in my life. Because that's going to burn up. It's okay. It's good. I'm going to have fun. God's in it, baby. It's all good. But. If I spend my life watching football games and I surf and I don't seek God, I'm not seeking his word, I'm not seeking fellowship with other believers, I'm just living my life, but I believe in God. I mean, whatever the general, you know, I believe, but no, I don't read the Bible. No, I don't go to church. I would, but I have season tickets to the Rams. I would go to church, but I have season tickets to the Rams. I would totally read the word, but I just don't have time. It's just a lot, and I don't understand. It's like, look. The only way you're going to know God is if you find him in the Bible. Jesus Christ is the Word in the flesh. The Word became flesh. God's Word became flesh. And that flesh was God's Word incarnate. And you won't know the Father unless you know the Son. These people thought they knew the Father, but they rejected the Son. And they were self-righteous, evil Jews that preached one thing and lived another. Their heart was not for God or for his people. You can fake it, but you can't fake God. You can't fake out God. And this is Jesus warning everybody. You ain't gonna fake me out. The last day's coming. Let's keep going. Verse 16. So the first servant came before him saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. So let's look at this, because in order to figure out what's going on here, you have to see the way the servants are speaking to the master. That's how you kind of discern this. Lord, The servant didn't show up and go, Lord, look what I did. Dude, I killed it. I took your mina and I made 10 more. Here you go. Love you. He came humble. Lord, your mina. Your mina. Your mina. You made 10 more using me. Your mina made 10 more. This servant knew God. This servant knew the nobleman. He knew the master. They were intimate. Why? Because he knew. First of all, the mina, you're giving me one? I get a mina. And he was so close. Hey, here's where you go multiply it. He knew that the nobleman, he had already spent time with them. The nobleman knew that it was the nobleman's, it was God's mina in the first place. The nobleman told him where to go and multiply it. The nobleman gave him the wisdom to engage. The nobleman taught him how to engage and make money. The nobleman taught him how to do that. And I love it because Jesus is so gracious. He knows that we all have different capabilities, different talents, abilities, and gifts. And that's why one made 10, one made 5, but it's all good. And do you see the extreme? Jesus is telling me he's trusting me with 3 months worth of wages. And if I can multiply that to 10, if I can take my mina and make 10, the difference is now I'm going to put you over 10 cities. So he trusted me with 3 months worth of pay. And because I invested it well, now I'm governor of California. That's a pretty fair trade. That's what he's talking about. Being over a state of believers in heaven. There's going to be more. Now, I don't know what all that is. I know that there's no sickness, there's no sadness, there's no sin, but obviously there's going to be something to do there. Because some of us are going to rule over others. And not in a bad way. It's just, I would think it's because we spent so much time with God that he's like, I want you now to, you got it down, kid. You've been practicing and now you're whole. And I'm going to reward you with this responsibility. You've shown me when you couldn't even see me that you trust me. Here you go. This is right from Jesus' mouth. There is no lie in God. There is no maybes. This is for sure. And this is him hooking us up. Trustworthy here is pistos. Faithful. Because you have been faithful is pistos, and it also means trustworthy, reliable, believer. So let me read this again. Well done, good servant. Because you have believed in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. Christ, from Christ's perception, our belief in what he's done is just a little. It's not too far of a stretch at all. Because you've believed in a little, now I'm giving you all this. I think that's phenomenal. Because it's pretty big, right? Salvation's... it's a heavy subject. Obedience to God and his word to prepare the way for the Lord is the currency. It's people. It's good deeds. It's obedience to his word. even though the culture, they would do something different. Everybody in your life is giving you advice to do this, but God's word or God is telling you, you know what's right. You know what's right. It's doing that in the midst of everything else and everyone else, you know, against you or saying no. Cha-ching. How about when nobody's looking? It's just you. You have a chance to sin or not, and you choose not to. Cha-ching. Just being generous and kind, especially to somebody who doesn't deserve it. Cha-ching. You see, all these things that I'm mentioning, you can still live your life. Go to work, surf, do artwork, ride your motorcycle, whatever. All these things, you can be focused on eternity. You can have the long game in mind and still love people, love your life, enjoy it. We're called to do that. God wants us to have fun, but he wants us to glorify him while we're doing it. All glory to God. Through work, through fellowship, through adversity. Shoot, we should be able, our screw-ups should bring him glory. Why? Because I repent. I'm sorry. How do I make it right? I own it. I totally did you wrong. I sinned against you and I own it. How can I make it right? That's how we do it. Our culture is not like that. The genuine salvation, transformation, solely performed by God the Father through his Holy Spirit using the words from our mouth. That's heavy. That's beautiful. He does it. It's his doing. He's the only one that can turn a dead man alive, that can turn a dead heart to life. But he uses us. And he's telling his servants, you got to get out there and engage. You got to engage with people. In fact, if you don't have any unsaved friends, I want you to go get a couple. Okay? But I think probably this is his place. We probably all do. But listen, you don't need to cram nothing down anybody's throat. What you need to be is the love of Christ consistently. That one friend that they can always come to and be themselves. And not feel judged or ridiculed, maybe a little convicted, who knows, but they feel safe with you. You're good. You're a good person. It's like, they don't know why, but they, you know, they just keep coming around. It's Jesus. We know who it is. Cha-ching. I love you too, brother. Notice how there's different returns on different investments. That makes sense. How much you sow now, spiritually, in your long game, is what is in proportion. It's in proportion. It's out of proportion, but it's in proportion to what you will reap. Right? 3 months, 10 cities. But it's still 5 cities. So how can I sow? Pastor Chris, great message. How do I do it? Just so happens you're sitting in a church that has tons of outreach. Laying at your fingertips, motels, homeless, grab and give. Our new outreach ministry called The Tent, where we're going to go set up a tent in bad neighborhoods and literally flyer the whole neighborhood, feed the homeless, clothe the homeless, get them saved, baptize them. Clean up and leave. But, you know, get them plugged into our church, obviously. We're going to hit Santa Ana, Anaheim, Long Beach, Garden Grove, whatever. Whatever doors God opens us up, all we want to do is go out and scoop them up, baby. We just want to go out and scoop up a bunch of people that should go to his place that don't go to his place yet. Right? So, and because why? That's what we do. Some people like to jump out of planes. Some people like to surf big waves. We're going to set up a tent in the ghetto and have church. Yeah! Woo! Why? Because we're thinking about the long game. Our master has asked us to make a difference in this world. I'm gonna. In the name of Jesus. Then another came. Verse 20. Saying, Lord, here's your mina. I kept it laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you because you're a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and you reap what you did not sow. Listen to how this servant is speaking. This servant doesn't know the nobleman. This servant maybe knows of him, but doesn't know him, because the nobleman is not a severe, harsh. You know, the nobleman is mighty, can be harsh to his enemies. But if I'm your servant, truly, if I'm your slave, then I know you. I know you. This person hid the mina, right? The deposit. So what does that look like? Probably something like this. I hear, I receive. Jesus is good. But, you know, just, the Bible's really confusing, and it's just such a big book, and I really don't read, and I'm just going to take my handkerchief and wrap it up. Plus, there's so many fun things to do on the weekends. I mean, I know God is God. I know that. I know there's a God. But, yeah, I don't do church. I just don't do that. I said a prayer, but I don't. Could be something like this. I believe the Bible, except for the part talking about homosexuality. Nah. I don't believe that. I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe that God's gonna send Mormons and Buddhists to hell. I don't believe that. I don't believe God is going to just send good people to hell. You know what? I understand all of that. And I'm not like, when I say this, I'm not talking trash on anybody. In fact, I bet you there's people in this room right now who believe the same thing. And I'm not coming against you either. It's our culture. It's your heart that doesn't want anybody. I don't want anybody to go to hell either. I don't. Especially people that I think that are nice. But what is nice? What is good? The Bible tells us nobody is good. Not one. We're sinners. We're evil. So the best sinner's going to judge the others? I mean, I know you guys are good because I was a scumbag. Compared to me, right? So where's that leave us? What is good? God is good. And his word is good. So if he says something is bad for us, he's saying it out of love. Not to condemn us, but to convict us to go, oh, okay. Well, I think I'll change my lifestyle because I'd rather just be with you, Jesus. And that goes for you that are watching porn, you that are having sex with your girlfriend out of wedlock, you that are in habitual sin. I warn you. If there is conviction there, praise God, you're probably saved. I can't tell you whether you're saved or not. Only God can, right? But if there's no conviction and you're habitually just living your life the way you're living it, at best your faith is in a napkin somewhere. But you might not be saved at all either. Just so you know. You see, it's not just about the homosexuals. There's tons of us that are straight, that have sexual immorality in our lives. And the Lord does not like it, okay? Because he loves you. And there's more for you, better for you. That twists love. It twists intimacy into a... And it's something not holy. I'll leave it at that. This person is obviously going off what they heard about the nobleman. If they would have really known, they would know. My nobleman's good. I'm not hiding nothing. Even if I am only have the ability or the capability to sew and make one mina off my mina, I shall, because he's worthy. He's worthy. He died for you. None of this would even be relevant if Jesus Christ hadn't died and resurrected. That's the basis of everything. And it's what the world rejects the most, isn't it? Well, I can handle God, but once you bring Jesus into it, well, you know. Why? Because we want all roads to lead to God. We want to live life the way we want to live it and just go to heaven and experience God together. That's a normal human being, sinful want. I don't want to change, but I do want to be with you. So the word for, you know, this servant called the nobleman severe. And the word for that is austeros, meaning strict, exacting, hard, squeezing blood from a stone. So this person is putting on God the hardness and the you know, like those Ten Commandments are just, dude, you're severe. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't covet. Hard. You're hard. What do you mean I can't love whoever I want? Sleep with whoever I want? What do you mean? You're hard. What do you mean all roads don't lead to God? You're hard. You're a hard God. And the laid away in the handkerchief is literally, a spiritual life on the shelf at best. And there's many who say that those people would be burned up too, but I just know God is just. He's perfectly just. You see, and I share in the whole anxiety of people going to hell. That's why I want to go out and preach as much as we can. That's why I go out with the homeless and the motels and just serve. Because there's nothing else important in life besides loving your family. Let me get that straight. Your family's your first ministry. Your first ministry. You be most like Christ to them. That's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? They're the closest to you. If anybody doesn't deserve you being like Jesus, it's your spouse when they go off the deep end and start yelling at you. Right? Isn't that the way you feel? Like, I don't feel like giving you grace right now. But when we do, marriage gets better. Why? Because I didn't choose what Jonesy wanted to do or say. I chose what God wanted me to do or say. And it hurt, and it was tough. It hurt my flesh, hurt my ego. There's things that you have to let go of to receive. There's things that you have to be willing to die to live. That's where the rubber meets the road, people. So verse 19 says this, or chapter 19, verse 22. So he said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Like, you knew me? You know me? Okay. Why then did you not put my money in the bank then? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. I mean, come on. That is little to no effort. Putting your money in the bank and letting it just sit there. Collecting interest is very, doesn't take a lot of time to do, right? The word for bank here is trapeza, which means table. So, which means lender's table, because they didn't have banks back then. They had lender's tables. So the dude would sit at the table and he would loan you money. Why didn't you take my money to the lender? Hey man, trade this and we'll split the interest so the interest can go to my boss here. See, a bank is an institution. An institution specifically made, or a lender's table is an institution specifically made for exchange, to do business. And I was thinking about this and I'm like, wow, a bank, an institution, a building. Kind of like his place. This is Jesus saying, why, at least, at the very least, sow into your community of believers. At the very least, get plugged in with your church. And sow what you can, little bits into people's lives there, because it will increase. It's super easy. You're already going. You're already going every Sunday, hopefully Wednesdays sometimes. Our midweek stuff. We got a lot of cool stuff going on here. But if you're just coming Sundays, that's fine too. Sow into this place here. How? Well, you can tithe. That keeps the lights on. You can contribute serving. We have plenty of stuff to do here. Not just the outreaches, but church. Your talents. You have a special talent? Bring it to us. Let's glorify God with it. Treasures. You got money. Sow some of it into the church. It's easy. Spiritual growth. You have to have a mind. I'm not just giving my money to his place, church. I am investing in the kingdom. I am investing, God. I am obeying you at your word, saying you are my provider, Lord. Not the bank, not my boss, not luck, you. Therefore, I take this little chunk you asked me for and I tithe it to my community. Eternal. Cha-ching. You see, it's not in vain. You're not giving your money away. You're investing it. You're investing the satanic paper that you invest now here will turn into a spiritual harvest beyond your wildest dreams. And that, I think, is the satanic paper. Seriously. I mean, it's better to have than not have, I know. But let me tell you something. When you can be free from it and like give it away. It's so rad. It's so bomb because then God just gives you more. It's weird. But the more that I tithe and I'm just generous and like, yeah, I'll help you. Sure. You're low on your rent here. You need some food here. Here. I feel great. And I don't lack. Do I go through trials? Yes. But the mindset stays the same. That's what gives me the power to get through the skinny seasons. When money is tight. And I'm like, woo. But do I still give? Amen. Amen. I might not give as much, but man, I'm giving. I don't stop. That would tell me that I don't have, that's where my faith ends. I give generously till I don't have any money, then forget it. Okay. But can you imagine the eternal blessing of giving when it hurts? But I'm giving anyway. That's a city, okay? The other one's a whatever, that's a city. Give. Even if it hurts, give. And you'll know because you'll have peace. God will be telling you, give that. Give it. Is it your time? Go over to their house. Spend some time with them. Pray with them. That's valuable. Cha-ching. It doesn't have to be money. You. You're the gift. You're the gift. Okay, I gotta get this thing wrapped up. I do wanna share this though, this Proverbs 2. Listen, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes. If you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You will understand and you will know that he's good. Verse 24, and he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he's got 10 minas. He's already got 10 minas, Lord. I tell you, that everyone who has more will be given. But from one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. This is little baby lamb Jesus. Little sweet little baby Jesus. He's King Jesus, King Jesus, who loves perfectly, in perfect truth, does he love his people. And so he says, if you don't want me, fine. But you, there will be an end for you. I've told everybody about the day that is coming. There is a day coming where you and I will stand naked before God. And everything that we've done and said will be set before us and it will be tried by fire. What stays will bring us joy. There will be rewards. And what burns up, it says we will suffer loss. Do you really want to just slide into heaven and suffer loss in front of the king? No, no. Praise God, you'll be there. And I know this is his place, church. And there's many of us who's like, dude, I just want to be in. Like, if I just get in, it's all good. You know, woo. I understand. Don't settle for that. Please don't. No. You don't know the king then. If you think you're just going to slide in just by fire, you don't really know him. Because if you do, they'll be like, sign me up. Where are we going next to preach the gospel, Pastor Chris? Hey, give me some more bags to pass out, Pastor Chris. hey, where can I serve in the house, Pastor Chris? What time's the Bible study on Wednesday, Pastor Chris? Started reading my Bible today, Pastor Chris. Thank you, God. That's what I want to hear. Because I'm just as scared as you are for people to go to hell. It hurts me to think. That's how grace works, though. They were like, why are you giving him 10 more? Or another one. He's got 10. Grace. Grace was, the mina was never, we never deserved the mina to begin with. His grace keeps giving. So the ones that have give more and more and more and more. But the ones who don't, they will suffer loss at the very least. At the very most, they'll burn with the enemies. Only God knows that part. But do you really want to be anywhere close to that? Not me. Invest now or get it taken. Invest what you have in Christ now or get it taken. And I would show up on that last day, because I'm going to close here. On that last day, you want more than your season tickets to the Rams. You want more than all your surf trips all over the world. You want more than your shell collection or your record collection or your guitar collection. I did that for my buddy. He's saved, though. More. You want to be able to go, Lord, I trusted you. Not the whole time. I didn't do it perfect, but I know there were times. I already know, and you should too. There are moments in my life I know. I know I obeyed him. I know I did the right thing. And I felt his anointing and his goodness and his pleasure. And the day, when the day comes, that ain't gonna burn up. That'll be one of the things that he says, oh man, look at this. Woo! The tent! You know? Or you know, that time that you were kind to that woman. Nobody else was around. And you took the time, you pulled over, and you helped. That's not going to burn up. The way you raise your family, the way you love your spouse or your mom, your dad, the selfless love that you love. I love you. I sacrifice part of my life for you. Cha-ching. Don't stop doing that, people. Amen. All right, let me pray so we can get out of here. Father God, I thank you for your word today. Although tough, I love you, God, because there's joy and there's peace today. And I thank you, God, for your church. Let our faith and our belief systems be changed forever. We understand what you say, Jesus. I pray for the faith of your church that they would give where they can give, that they would be so close to you, Lord, that they would always know you're good, they would always know that you provide, and they would always know that they are blessed and highly favored and eternally safe in you. So therefore, we can give of ourselves freely today. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.